Warning. New York. The sound you're about to hear.
Microphone check. Is this thing really on? Yes, it is. We are here for another episode of Unwrapped as Janine finishes her yogurt parfait. You said you've been good this week or bad this weekend?
I've been awful. I've been so bad.
I'm getting back on the horse. I haven't really been eating that great, but I haven't been eating that bad. So, last week was my 10-year anniversary, and it's so bad because I don't even realize I knew it was coming up, my 10-year anniversary for my business, but of course LinkedIn send you these alerts like, it's your work anniversary, right? So I started getting over 100 congratulations on your work anniversary. And I'm like, wow, it's been 10 years that I've been on my own and having my own business. And I feel like right now it's like not saying a fad, but a kind of a trend that everyone wants to be a boss bitch. Everyone wants to be an entrepreneur. Everyone wants to be in charge, but everyone's not cut out for it. You know, everyone is not cut out for it. And I always look at that quote, you know, everyone wants to shine like Diddy, but don't want to work like Puff. And you have to take a look back of what it really takes to have a business and then be in the business for 10 years strong. So, you know, Instagram has kind of created like a false sense of, you know, I make my own money, but you have to really look at it like, can you leave your job, right? Whatever you make, and make that same amount of money, like just what you're generating, and not rely on that every weekly check? Because once you're accustomed to having that weekly check, it's like, it's not like that. You don't know, sometimes you don't know when your next check is coming. It becomes a really serious situation, because I remember when I decided, well, I didn't decide, I got laid off, right? I got laid off with a big fat morning show, but I had already started my business. I was looking at my exit strategy, but not in my mind did I think like, can I make up what my salary is? That wasn't my thought in my head. I was just like, I'm just gonna do it. I'm gonna pull up my bootstraps. I'm not going back. I'm not looking for a job. I'm just gonna go into this full time.
So pause for a second. Let me ask you this. Sure. In the process of you thinking that, how old were you?
30.
Okay, so you were 30, and financially, like, did you have a lot of debt?
I guess I was 29, yeah.
You have a lot of debt or responsibility at that time?
I mean, you have your apartment, you have your car, you have student loans.
Okay.
I mean, you have things that I think every person who's kind of graduated college, and I was making I was like one of the highest paid producers, morning show producers in Radio 1. So it wasn't like I was just making menial salary. Mm-hmm. You know, I was making good money, and then I had to swim. You know what I mean?
And you had to figure out a way to make sure that whatever you did was going to equal out or be enough, I guess, to still handle the lifestyle that you had.
Yeah. I mean, and people don't seem to understand, when you want to be an entrepreneur, right? You're going to be broke. Okay. Mm-hmm. Most of your friends are not going to support your business. Some of your family is not going to support your business.
Mm.
It will put a strain on your relationships, because that business becomes your baby.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is mattering when you have to kill what you eat.
You say that all the time.
Because people don't seem to understand. People are like, yeah, I'm doing this. No, are you really doing that? Mm-hmm. I mean, are you really supporting yourself with no one there?
You know, I think that it's difficult because, and I talk about this all the time, but social media glorifies things so well that people don't see the struggle and the process and the progress. You know, they just see the end result, and that's not the way it goes at all. So there are 10,000 people out here, more than that, obviously, and everyone's talking about, like you said, I want to be a boss, but then they don't want to do the work that it takes to be a boss, or they don't realize the preparation that it takes to actually do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then the other side of it is, if everybody's a boss, then who are the employees?
Exactly. And that's what it becomes, like, who are the employees? Not everyone is meant to be mm-hmm. a boss. Some people are just made to support the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, so Tiffany Haddish. If you, she has a comedy special that just aired on Friday on Showtime. Everyone should see it. It's super amazing. She's really funny. If you're not familiar who Tiffany Haddish is, she is the break art star for Girls Trip, right?
Oh, the funny one.
Yeah, she is hilarious. But she's been doing it for 10 years, right? She has been on the circuit for 10 years. And she talks about how she was sleeping in her car. Right. So she said she was homeless and she was sleeping in her car and she would pull up to the comedy show and she would try to arrive after the other comedians because she didn't want them to see in her geo that she had all her stuff in there. So she said one time she pulled up at the Laugh Factory and Kevin Hart pulled up alongside her and was like, "Yo, Tiff, like, what's all that in your car?" And she said she got mad defensive, like, "Nigga, don't be worried, what's in my car, you know what I mean? Mind your business." And she just kind of, like, you know, went into the comedy show trying to deflect from what was really going on. So she said that, you know, afterwards he approached her like, "Yo, Tiffany, like, what's up? Like, talk to me. What's what you doing? You're a pretty girl. Like, how come you don't, why are you staying by yourself, you know, like living in your car?" She said she would park in Beverly Hills and every morning at 7 o'clock, like the police would come and wake her up, right, for her to move her car. And she said it comes full circle because she said Kevin Hart that day gave her $300 and was just like, "Yo, find a hotel, write down your goals and figure out what you want to do. Like, make that come into fruition." So she said, she was like, "What hotel am I find for $300 a week?" For a week, he's like, "For a week is $300. She's like, what am I going to find?" Mm-hmm. So she said she just got a regular hotel room. She sat down, took a shower, and she was writing out all the stuff. She said she wrote down, "I want to work with Will Smith." And she said, "I want to meet Will Smith." Right. And she said Jada Pinkett and Will Smith. That's what she said. She said, "I want to work with Jada Pinkett and Will Smith. I want to have my own comedy special on Showtime." So these are all things that she listed, right, for her goals. And now she said that, you know, when it comes full circle, and she said, you know, after a while, Kevin had called, I think it was like the same week, Kevin had somebody call her and was like, "Listen, we got an apartment for you." She said it was the cruddiest apartment. She said, but she was like, "Listen, I'm going to make it pretty." You know, she said she tries to find the best in every situation, the beauty in every situation. And she did that. And she said that, you know, all that happened. And this has been also great with the Girls Trip. And, she, you know, this breakout starts, she's getting all these accolades. And she said she was invited to this house. And she said she pulled up to the house. And she was like, "I used to live here," right, in Beverly Hills. And the guy was like, "You never lived here?" She's like, "Yeah, I used to park my car right in front of the house every night." And he's like, "He was like, that was your car?" He said, "I used to call the police every morning and say, this Geo is parked in front of this, my house, make it move."
And now she's invited to the party.
But what I'm saying is that when you have your business, right? And I said, don't be mad if you're not an entrepreneur. You know what I mean? Don't be mad you're not a quote unquote boss, because not everyone is built for that. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was going through what I was going through, because I said, I didn't know when my next check was, mm-hmm. you know, and plus you're building on your reputation. People don't know, like, if you are, all these people who, when you had a job saying that they'll help you, it may not happen when you don't have a job, mm-hmm. when you're out there on your own. Right. And then I feel like you have to write down exactly what you want to achieve. And I didn't have an exit plan. I was kind of forced out there, but I had a network and a relationships of people who wanted to see me succeed and gave me opportunities. And then I fulfilled those opportunities by being good at what I do. So it's like, when people understand, when it comes to having a business, you are the janitor of your business. You are the receptionist of your business. You are the secretary of your business. You are the assistant. Every menial position in your job, your business, that's what you do that. And you do that and you can't complain about it, mm-hmm. because it's your baby, right? Like, when my first events, I was taking up the cups and cleaning the tables. When I see Mark Barnes, and if you're unfamiliar with who Mark Barnes is, he owns Park, he used to own Love nightclub in DC. If that man can pick up cups off of his table and clean his table, why can't you? You know, and I see where people are jumping out there and they're falling flat on their face. I'm not saying that you shouldn't jump out there and fall flat on your face, but sometimes it's not for you. And it's okay.
So I get asked the question, Mike, you want to say something? Sorry, our producer Mike is over here. He's burning to say something. Yeah. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
It's not a burn.
It's not a burn?
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, just an itch.
Shut up. I just want to piggyback on what Sanjay is saying. Like, a lot of people don't take pride in the process and take pride in the work. There's a song that Nas has on, what was Nas' last album?
Stillmatic? It wasn't Stillmatic.
Nah, it was, anyway, he sampled MC Shan. I bring this up because, you know, you're from Queens.
Yeah.
He samples MC Shan. You love to hear the story again and again about how it all got started way back when. So if you listen to The Bridge, Shan explains how their whole process came about. And in this song, Nas says, before every success, there is a process. And he uses that Shan, mm-hmm. you know, you love to hear mm-hmm. the story again.
Yeah, yeah.
So we grew up enjoying history. We grew up enjoying the story of how Nat Turner, you know, ran through VA. We enjoyed hearing Harriet gun button slaves who didn't want to deal. These new people, and this is young and old, they don't enjoy the succession or the story that built up to whatever. You know what I'm saying? You just see, you know, I mean, for example, Rick Ross' first rap video that we know of, the Def Jam, you know, Hustler, Lil Hustler. Yeah. He ride around in 745. Yeah, yeah. Like, that's it? That's how you start off? We didn't see Jay-Z start off like that.
No.
Jay-Z, you know, it was progression. So I feel like nobody's willing to do the hard work, like you said. I mean, there's one event in particular I remember Sanjay. She had like, you know, five or six of her baddest girls. And Sanjay and I worked together a lot. Mm-hmm. She pulled me to the side, was like, Mike, so how, you know, how can we handle this? Because mm-hmm. that party was a flizzop.
Flop.
Flit-op.
Flip. Flop.
But it's all relationships. So mm-hmm. I was like, all right, yo, you know, whatever. Like, you know, however we got to make it work, we're going to do what it does. It's no issue. You know what I'm saying? But again, that should have told you that you're not a promoter.
Mm-hmm.
You're an event producer.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So, and that was one of those situations where it was a thin line between which one was which.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you had some sponsorship dollars there, mm-hmm. but it was more of a party, you know.
Yeah, it's more about being in the streets and knowing.
And that's not what you do.
All of Baltimore.
And you do know all of Baltimore.
Yeah, I knew.
But your clientele
is a little bit different. They're like specialized.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And that's how my DJ situation is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I used to DJ, you know, I mean, 10 years ago, four or five nights a week.
Yeah.
I mean, there'd be a time I DJ two or three times a day.
Yeah,
but you know, as I've grown, you know, you see the hustle change. But again, people are hustling backwards and not willing to do the dirty work. I mean, you know, you guys see me do events.
Yeah,
people see Mike in a suit, bow tie. Mike be out here dirty, sweaty, no shave, looking crazy.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
And Mike does a million jobs. Okay, he is a true Jamaican.
Yeah, yeah, like straight up, like yeah,
10 jobs,
10.
Yes.
So yeah, yeah. It's crazy, but. A lot of people aren't willing to do that work. Like people just, like you said, Janine, they just want to shine, but they don't want to do the work it takes to shine. They don't want to, you know, buff it up and then wash it and rebuff and then shine. They don't want to do all of that. They don't want to do the hard work.
I agree. And where I was headed initially with my original statement was even before they get to that point where there's the work that needs to be done, people don't even take the time to research and find out what steps you need to do first before you actually even leave your full-time job, right? So let's talk about that part of it. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about how you can't just wake up one day and decide, I'm going to be homeless and figure it out. It doesn't work that way, especially if you have kids or whatever your situation may be. For me, my situation is very different than Sanjay because I did have a 9-to-5 for a long time and I worked for the government. And that's like the graveyard where people go to die. Like no one ever leaves the government. And if you leave, they look at you like, what? That's your good government job? You're going to leave that? Who does that? That's benefits. But for me, I knew that my life was never meant to be behind a desk. I couldn't do it. I felt like an animal in a jail cell, right? But it took me 3 years to actually plan how I was going to leave and how I was going to walk out. So what was that process like for you? I know you said you got laid off, but mm-hmm. even before then, you had to kind of figure it out, right?
Well, no. I mean, honestly, no. You know, I said I was working with this guy named Will Griffin and Russell Simmons, and they were doing a, before this is for like On Demand really kind of launched off, right?
On Demand like TV?
Yeah, On Demand TV. So they were doing this channel called Hip Hop On Demand. And Hip Hop On Demand, they needed content. And because I worked at the radio station, they were like, we are going to record your interviews that you do, and we're going to post them on our On Demand channel for Comcast, because we have this partnership. So I said, I was just kind of like, okay, naive, didn't have, you know, but I was getting all this extra income. And they were like, well, you have to have a business set up so we could cut you these checks. And because I was kind of like the booking agent to a certain extent, and the other couple things that I was also booking for them so they could have content for their On Demand channel. So I'm just doing that. But I started my business not thinking anything of it. Then I was, you know, working with a lot of the Ravens, Ray Lewis's Celebrity Weekend. I was getting him sponsorship dollars through Walmart. So, you know, as I said, those are nice checks and they're fine. But I was only making about $10,000-$15,000 extra income on top of my salary. That's not enough money to sustain my life.
That's,
you know,
that's still below poverty
line. You know, so it wasn't enough money to sustain. That's not enough money to be like, you know what, I'm about to jump out there mm-hmm. and leave this, you know, company and start my own business. But it was a nice start. It was a nice network, a nice cushion that, you know, I was building based on my relationships and my network of folks. So when I got laid off, I said we were in the middle of negotiating our contract, but I did feel like it's my time to leave. I was working on other projects where I felt like, okay, I'm going to leave and then I'm going to work for this, you know, company doing my own thing, but it didn't end up working that way. You know, and when I said when I went on my own, I would cry. I would cry. And so the only person I really would vent to, and I would sit there and cry, because I would just cry by myself, because I'm like, how am I going to pay my rent, right? How am I going to pay my car note? How am I going to do all of this stuff? And my good friend Qdizu, who, if you're unfamiliar with him, he has his own television show in Philadelphia. And he was another person who followed his dreams and just left radio, went to California with no job. Okay. Right. And now he has his own TV show in Philadelphia on Fox. Okay. So he was the only person, because he kind of understood that I would cry to and vent to, like, I think that I'm going to have to get a job and, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then he's like, and I totally forgot that I used to vent and cry to him until he, like, I think he came to one of my events and it was like this huge gala event. And he just looked at me. He's like, can you believe when you were crying, like you were crying to me about, like, not making it? And I was just like, and I, you know, because I had kind of put that to the back of my brain, and I was like, yeah, I completely remember me being super duper scared, because like I never asked my mom to pay my rent. Like, thank God. Well, at that time it was like the stimulus package and, you know, all this stuff was going on. So here I am collecting unemployment, right? Trying to start my business and trying to stay afloat. And as I said, as I continued, and I remember the Carmelo Anthony Mario Celebrity Weekend. When I say I bust my ass for that event with hardly any benefit to it, it was just mainly more for marketing. It wasn't hardly any kind of monetary gain for me. But when it came to, like, as far as putting me on the map and introducing me to people and people understanding, like, I'm here and I'm forming my own company, that did it for me. But I understood that. You know what I mean? Because there's going to be times when you're working and doing stuff
for free
or for a little bit of gain. But you have to look at it strategically of how is that going to benefit you in the long run? How are those relationships going to help you in the long run? And I had Melo and Mario didn't put up any money. I had to raise all of that money by myself, and I had to put on a 3-day event, a baseball tournament that we, a softball tournament that we had, opening back to school. And I had to work my relationships with Walmart and downtown locker room and all these people to cut checks to make this thing happen. And it was probably one of the best parties that I've been to in Baltimore, because it brought white people, black people, everybody together at this event, and it looked like you were in LA. Like, it was fly, you know? But as I said, I knew that was going to propel me to another level.
You know, in addition to not being afraid to do the work for free, because eventually it'll pay off, I think the other part that people don't realize is, don't be afraid to ask, whether it be asking for help or asking for sponsorships or asking for mentorship. Mm-hmm. You know, like, a lot of people underestimate the importance of just the help. And then there's this like stigma for some reason with, oh, if I ask someone and it's something that they're already in their field, oh, then they think that I'm competition, or they're not going to help me because they look at me like they're giving me all their ideas. Well, yeah, some people do think that way, and that's unfortunate, but most people actually don't. Most people have a wealth of knowledge that they want to actually share, you know, and it's such a problem. Like, there's nothing new under the sun. Yeah. Nothing. Mm-hmm. If I decide that I want to open a smoothie store, mm-hmm. right? There's Smoothie King, there's Planet Smoothie, there's five other smoothie franchises. Does that now mean that I'm copying off of them? You know, like, what's wrong with, if you want to open one, you go talk to the manager at one and mm-hmm. you find out, you know, what steps did you take to make this succeed? Mm-hmm. People don't do that. They'll either just suffer alone or, you know, complain and bitch and moan, instead of just actually opening their mouth and finding out, you know, what can help. Like, I know a lot of times when we'll have events, we'll do things, I'll be like, Sanjay, what do you think? You're like, well, I'm just going to email so-and-so and find out, you know, how do they feel about sponsoring this? And I'm always like, yeah, right. No way is this person going to agree to Sanjay's terms. And they're always like, yep, sure. No problem, Sanjay, whatever you want.
Well, I mean, because, it's, you know, I said, it's based on, I said, It's like a skill, right? You have to keep practicing for you to master your skill, right? I think there's like some quote, you have to do something so many times before you become an expert in that skill. Mm-hmm. And what do you know? And as I said, being an entrepreneur, you're constantly learning. You know, when I wanted to branch off and do into marketing and promotions, I went and I saw a company that was doing exactly what I wanted to do. And I applied for that $9 an hour job. Mm-hmm. And I did that $9 an hour job so I could learn what it takes and the relationships and how that industry worked. Mm-hmm. And then I took back that knowledge and applied it to my company. And then I worked it out where I was getting six-figure contracts on the basis of that, you know, of me doing that grunt work first to learn.
It's so funny that you say that, because I remember vividly when I graduated from college, everyone kept saying, you know, you have to climb the ladder. You have to start with those low, bottom of the totem pole jobs, right? And I was like, why? This is stupid. You pay all this money to go to college and da-da-da-da-da, and now I'm going to be putting labels on envelopes? I didn't understand it at all. And when I say I climbed the ladder, like, I started as an intern at like an insurance agency, right? I had no idea why I was working in insurance. Then that led me to another healthcare company, and I was just like there on a temp job, right? Then that temp job led to a full-time job. Then having that led me to Care First. And then when I got to Care First, instead of actually working in the healthcare field, it put me in my actual field of marketing, right? And so then I'm like, okay, I'm figuring it out. But then the pay was nothing. So I'm like, okay, I don't know what to do. So then I left there and I went to the government. But every last one of those steps is so funny, led to where I am now. But you don't see it. And when people say trust the process, mm-hmm. you don't understand the process, but you just have to trust it. And I can't speak for people that aren't religious, but for me, spirituality is really important, because I just have to keep praying about it and writing it down and saying to God, okay, I don't know why I'm doing this, but if this is what you're telling me to do, I'm gonna do it. I remember when I was working within the government, and I was really tired of my position and I wanted to leave so bad. So I kept applying for all these jobs, and I was getting the interviews, and every time I would go to the interview, they would be amazing. I would leave there like, yep, I got that job. But then the door would close. And it was always something like, oh, the job was pulled, or the manager in one of them died and they lost the interview. Like,
oh, wow.
It was so many crazy things. And so finally one day I remember being in tears because I hated my job so much. And I got on my knees and I was like, God, I cannot. What is going on? You have now closed the door for four different positions that I know I was overqualified for. And you know what he said? You need to leave. It was like, I'm closing these doors for you because you no longer need to work in corporate America. This is not what I want for you. And I'm trying to force you basically out to step out and take that leap of faith and trust me, but you won't do it. So I then took that time and started planning, like, okay, if I leave, how am I going to do this? And what am I going to do? And for me, though, it's different for you because I was married at the time. I had just gotten married. I had only been married for maybe 9 months, but I did have somebody that I could kind of rely on financially. But even still, it's scary, you know, because you don't want to put all of your faith and all your everything in a man all the time. Like, you want to still be able to make sure that you can sustain in the case they leave you, they die, whatever it may be, you know. But it was a process. It mm-hmm. was definitely a process, but all of those jobs led me to where we are now, because then I learned the healthcare field. Had no idea why I was learning the healthcare field. And then when I left and started working with my husband, he was in mental health.
Yeah.
But you don't see those. Like, yeah. I didn't even know my husband when I was working those jobs. Yeah. So it's just funny how they all line up and you just don't realize it.
Yeah. And I said, that's kind of... it's kind of a story for many people. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, you know, you watch Defiant Ones and you see that basically, you know, Dre was broke. Mm-hmm. How many times? Like, he just left labels that he built and just left cold turkey and started all over again. Mm-hmm. So you should not be scared to fail, because mm-hmm. failing is part of the process.
It's going to happen. Yeah, it's inevitable.
You know, Mike said, like, flop. That flopped, this flopped. I would go home, I would cry my eyes out. Cause you know, you look at that as like,
embarrassing.
No one likes me, I'm embarrassed. No one's supporting, you know. And I said, you are gonna have a strain on your relationships. It has had a, there's many times, there's a couple times I could have been married and living a certain life. But I looked at those men and I was just like, eh. Think I want to live the life that life. Mm-hmm. I don't want to live that life. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's something else, right? I feel like I'll be settling and just to say I'm married or whatever, because I felt that I was compelled to do something else. And I wouldn't have probably had my business. I probably wouldn't have had my business if I had married some of the men that I could have married.
Why do you feel that way?
Because they wouldn't have, I date very type A personality guys.
Okay.
You know, so they are usually the king of the castle and they probably would have been like, oh, that's great. But they want all the attention. You know what I mean? I would have been all about family. It would have been all about our marriage. It would have been all about our relationship and I'd have been fine. But what I'm saying is that when you have your own business, it takes over your life. You know what I mean? You are working on a consistent basis. People say, oh, you're off. I'm like, no, I'm never off, because something could be going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Over here mm-hmm. or there, people hitting me. I'm constantly working, you know? There's times you turn it off, you know, and I've learned that, you know, as you've been able to work, or when I've been able to work smarter, mm-hmm. you know, where I don't have to work as crazy. There'll be crazy moments, mm-hmm. but it's not crazy moments all the time.
So let me ask you this, because our lives are obviously very different. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that you would be able to maintain such a hectic work schedule if you were married and had kids? Like, let's say tomorrow you find the man of your dreams and next year you have a child. Do you think that you would be able to balance both?
Something's going to have to give.
And I think that that's so unfair.
Men don't. I mean... Okay, is Mike about to chime in as the man?
Uh-oh.
Something has to give.
I agree with Sanjay.
No!
And I don't agree with this men don't. Men do.
Men don't. Men do it. Men do what they want.
Whatever. Yeah.
Men do what they want. Men have children. They still have high-powered careers. They still find time to have a social life. Men do what they want. It's women that always have to make that sacrifice.
Women sacrifice a lot. Mm-hmm. Right? They sacrifice a lot. But I think it really depends on the man. It really depends on the marriage. It really depends on the relationship. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. Some women are going to be a little bit more forceful, right? And say, you are not doing A, B, C, and mm-hmm. D. You know? Like, and it's going to be, you're not doing A, B, C, or D. You have to be with us. So you have to do this. So you have to blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And there, I said, type A personality guys, right? Mm-hmm. I said, those are, it's going to be a conflict, right? Because it's not that I'm going to be sacrificing and you gallivanting with your friends or you chilling and I'm with the home with the kids or whatever it is. And I'm just, I'm sacrificing and you're not sacrificing. So I said, it really depends. And there's different stages of marriage. Things happen. There's going to be one sacrificing and other not sacrificing. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, there's always going to be some kinds of the seesaw, right? In the marriage where things are happening. But I knew with the men that wanted to be married that they were not going to understand or be supportive as much with what I had to do for my career.
I can understand that. And you have to give yourself credit for acknowledging that, because some people are so, I don't want to use the word desperate, but so pressed for a marriage or for a man that they're willing to sacrifice that.
Yeah.
And you have to know, like, what's more important.
Yeah. I mean, I said we had this discussion before about, you know, the type of women who are helpmates, right? Who step back and let their man build their dream, and they're the support mate, right? Mm-hmm. They're the support mate, and they take a back seat of what they want and their dreams and their whatever they have going on to make sure their guy does what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. When you say that, I always hear Beyonce in is it Flawless when she's like, "I'm more than just this little wife."
Yes.
You know, like, I can speak from both sides of the spectrum, mm-hmm. and I guess maybe I should, but initially in my marriage, mm-hmm. I was just the helpmate. When I left my job, it was, okay, whatever you need me to do at your company, I'll do it. Forget whatever dreams it was that I had. As long as I'm not sitting behind a desk, I'm okay with that. But that was me tricking myself, right? That was me convincing myself that that was okay. Well, not that it's not that it wasn't okay, because I was okay. It was okay, mm-hmm. but that I would be
content
with mm-hmm. doing that. Exactly. And for a little while, I think I was. Until one day I woke up and realized, who are you? You know, like, you forgot who you are and what you are. And it is important to help, but don't help and then forget to do everything that it was important to you. So every day I would get up, I would go to work for his dream, and I would take care of our kids, and then I would cook, and I would do it all over again. But mm-hmm. at no point in that was I utilizing any of the skills and just talents that I had developed in the whole, like at that point I was probably like 26, 27 years of my life, you know? So then I realized that I was becoming more and more unhappy, but I didn't know why I was unhappy. And it took a lot of time for me to finally realize you're unhappy because you're not doing things that make you happy. You're making everyone else happy. You're making your employees happy. You're making your husband happy. Even your parents are happy, your kids, but you aren't doing anything for you. And it really took for me to step out and start Total Package and unwrapping all of these things for me to realize, like, okay, this is it. You know, like, I do still help. I am still a helpmate, but I'm more than just that now.
Yeah.
And I think that that is really important for people to identify, because you have to know initially what it is that you want before you step out there and do that. And I didn't.
Yeah.
I thought that this is just what I'm going to do because I just don't want to sit at a desk all day. And that wasn't the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you get one life. You can't waste all of those years just trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. And I said, what I do commend with you and your husband is the fact that, you know, and I don't know what it took to come to this point, but he is very supportive of Total Package. You know,
Lord.
He
too supportive.
You know, he is very involved. He does want to see it succeed, and he is always thinking of ways to improve it.
And it's because he looks, well, I think that he genuinely is invested and cares about yeah. it. But we have to always also think about the fact that he knows how much I invested. So it would be just wrong for him to totally not care and not do anything when it's now my dream. Because when it was his and it was a startup, I was all in. Like, we had 4 employees and I was one of the 4.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a salary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, Janine did X, Y, and Z for me. Why wouldn't I step out there and do that for her?
Well, yeah, I said, well, some people aren't like that.
Aren't like
you
that.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're not. Some people are like, huh? You know, I'm mm-hmm. still grinding and making money. I can't put my stuff aside mm-hmm. and help you do what you want to do.
But this is why this is all tied into the whole, like, being an entrepreneur is hard, because not only is it hard with just the business part of it, it's hard with figuring out all of the other dynamics of your life.
Yeah.
Literally, when you decide to have your own business, it affects every single dynamic of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I said, like, I know this guy over here, Mike, he is always ripping and running and everywhere. And I said, with me, there's, I'm ripping and running with different things. And I've, you know, tried to slow down and be a little bit more like, oh, it's settled. Cause I said, I have my high moments and then I have my semi-chill moments where I could be vested and be giving in a relationship. And because I said, you can't ignore your partner. You know, so I said, something has to give. We love to say total package, but sometimes there are going to be sacrifices.
There is no total package.
Yeah, you know, there are going to be sacrifices. If you are, you know, as he said, like you were building and working and doing whatever, there's going to be, you know, maybe your husband wasn't home as much, you know what I mean? Because he was doing what he had to do to build your business. So there were strains in your relationship in that part.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so something we would love to say we have it all, like, oh, we're able to balance everything. Like, I think you should, you know, as a, I'm always listening to other people, and there's a podcast, this guy named Gary Vee, and he's on Instagram, and he's amazing when he talks about being an entrepreneur, and he is a constant, nonstop grinding. But he says, like, he takes, I think he says probably a month or two or off, where he has no communication, no phone calls, and he just spends that time with his kids and in his relationship. But that's the understanding he has with his wife. You know, he's going to work crazy for the next 10 months, but those 2 months, he's going to turn everything off and be about his family. And then as the kids get older, he's probably going to have to, you know, give a little bit more time. But I said, it's all about those conversations and being an entrepreneur. I said, like, if you're going to do it, understand these are the things that come along with it. And it is no problem to fail. Like, you can fail. Just get yourself up. You heard, you know, with Tisha, with the Smoothie King, she failed. She took a break. She regrouped and she got back on the horse. She got back on the horse and made it a very successful, lucrative business. So that's kind of like my two cents when it comes, when I look back and I'm like, wow, 10 years has passed and people don't have 10 year anniversaries. They just don't.
That, I mean, that's a long time.
It's a very long time.
And you're a one man show.
I'm a one woman. I have a good team.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I have a good team. Yes. That's little Mike. Yes. You're part of my team.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I am sole proprietor, yes. You know what I mean? But I do have a team, and it is about relationships. And even when you become an entrepreneur, I was talking to a friend who's about to leave his lobbyist job, and, you know, he makes high six figures, and he's like, how am I going to make high six figures, you know, out the gate? And I said, don't put yourself in a box. You go into it thinking you're going to do, this is what your skill is, and this is what you're going to do. But don't put yourself in the box where when other opportunities come that you don't challenge yourself to take on those opportunities. Right? I started out as, you know, doing events. Then I was like, oh, I could open up my own promotions and marketing street team. And so then I went into that. Now we're looking at some other business ventures and it's like, we're going into that. So it's like, don't put yourself in the box because there's so many ways to make money. There's so many ways to have different streams of income. And this guy over here in the back knows he has like 5 different streams of income that, you know, that he, that it, you just never know what down that path, what it will lead to. So speaking of putting your dreams on the back burner for your man and being a helpmate, you know, Power's finale is coming up next week. It's going to be like everyone's sitting on the edges of the seat of what happened. Because my mouth was on the floor last episode.
Oh, my whole week was thrown off. My entire week was thrown off from that episode.
I was like, oh my God. My friend just started laughing upstairs. Like, I was like, I cannot believe it. This is like Game of Thrones, which I can't wait. Like, Game of Thrones is, you know, coming on and I'm excited. So anyway, she kind of put her dreams on a back burner. Do you see yourself in Tasha? Did you identify any part of her character?
You know, I had not, but I do see the similarities. She wanted to be a singer,
yeah,
and she couldn't really do that if she was going to be Ghost's wife, yeah, right? You know, the situation with Power is difficult because I don't think that Tasha had to really make that call, one. But then, two, she was all for him being a drug dealer. You know, like, remember first season when he wanted to get out the game? She was like, nah. You know, so.
Because she loved her lifestyle.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like that is really relatable to my situation. But I do feel like Tasha's rebelling right now. Like, she obviously regrets everything that she did because it didn't pan out the way she thought. And now she's sleeping with the attorney.
Yeah, it's so messy.
She's rebelling.
Yeah, it's so messy. And, you know, and she said she wants to create her own business and go legit with the hair business and so forth. So we have yet to see what happened between Tasha and Ghost, because it's going to be interesting to see how he reacts when he sees his little wife is not just his little wife anymore.
Yeah, and I feel like her wanting to do this whole business and free herself is very similar to what I said when you feel like you lose yourself and you realize that all that time you weren't happy because all you were was a wife and a mother and a helpmate, and you realize, oh, shit. You know, like, I had dreams.
Yeah.
So maybe you're right. It is a very similar situation, minus the legal, biggest drug dealer in New York City.
Yeah, that
but
is, yeah.
It's a big, rich town. But, you know, you got to stop it before you get to the rebelling stage. You got to wake up and realize, like, nah, man. You know? Because here's the other side to all of this. And this is what I will say, full transparency. What made me identify with the fact that I was so upset about not having it was other people. Other people will try the fuck out of you, okay? Other people will identify you as just his wife. Mm-hmm. Or she's probably dumb. She's probably just a trophy wife. You know, not knowing, oh, no, I got 2 degrees and I done this. And that, you know what I mean? It's other people a lot of times that motivate you to realize, oh, wait a minute. And I think that's also what happened with Tasha.
Yeah.
You know, people started being like, oh, Tasha, do this. Oh, Tasha, just help him do that. Get him out of court. Get him out of, you know. And she was like, wait a minute. You know, and when she was singing on the stage,
she kind of felt back to her who she actually was and what she wanted to achieve. Well, these are my little tidbits. If you are thinking of being an entrepreneur and you do want to start your business, as I said, like, I started out, I still had a full-time job. I started my company when I still had a full-time job, and to learn a little bit about what an LLC is, what that takes, writing up my agreements, just kind of getting the foundation down before I actually, you know, took the plunge. But I think that, you know, the first thing is to kind of write down your goals, right? Have a clear understanding of what you want to achieve within the next year, and work towards that. As I said, you don't have to jump out there and just start your own business. If you are fortunate, like Janine, to have a support, you know, a partner who will be able to support your goals and your dreams and your aspirations, then, you know, that's wonderful. Also, talk to your partner. I remember when a friend of mine was, you know, leaving his job and he was going full into being an entrepreneur. And I told him, I said, does your wife understand what it's going to take? And he was like, huh? I said, you need to talk to your wife because she has to understand what it's going to take. And that, and you know, his wife was a needier person. She was a needier person. She needed her husband there, like, home and with her. She was not a type of person who was, I'm gonna put everything, I'm gonna pull up my bootstraps and hold down this fort while you go out and make our dreams come true or your dreams come true, right? So I encouraged him, and he, at first he's like, yeah. And he didn't. And then that caused issues within their marriage because she started to, you know, look.
He didn't communicate it with her.
He didn't communicate with her. So when she was feeling neglected,
she didn't understand why.
She was just like, she was feeling neglected. He wasn't understanding. And she was, I said, looking at other options, lawyer, just, you know, just equivalent to Tasha. You know, she was entertaining other options because she was being neglected at home because he didn't have that conversation with her when it came to, I'm not going to be home. I'm not going to be here for the kids. You're probably going to be by yourself a lot. I'm going to be working long hours. I'm going to be hopping on a plane and going A, B, C, and D. So I need you to, like, hold down this while I make this happen for us so we could have this certain type of lifestyle.
Yeah.
So that's really important if you have a partner. And also, you know, take classes. Keep learning about your industry. I mean, I was driving out to Virginia, probably, I mean, and everyone knows those, that Tyson Corner traffic. Okay. So Lord. I would have to leave the house at 6:30 to get to a 9 o'clock class. Okay. Because I knew that that's where I wanted to network. That's what I wanted to learn. And I would go out there and I would want to get certain type of certifications and stuff for what I do. And I had to make that sacrifice to wake up and drive out there. And it helped it just opened doors because I don't know everything. You know, you don't know everything. And you're going to meet people who are going to tell you about other elements of your industry that you may not have exposure to. Mm-hmm. So that's really important. Network. Go to different events, exchange cards, talk about what you do. You know, some people don't like to talk about what they actually do. So how are people going to help you if they don't know what you're trying to do? Mm-hmm. So that's really important. And make sure you follow up. I mean, I'm still learning that, like following up and meeting with people and setting up lunches. And because I said, as you said, Janine, like people will be willing to help you. All you have to do is ask. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, plan a little cushion. You know, don't jump out there and you don't have anything to cover your rent for the next 6 months. Plant a little bit of something so you are able to sustain yourself for a while before, you know, the wheels start turning and business starts coming in. Because I said, mm-hmm. if you are making, let's say you're making $70,000, do you know how hard it is to make $70,000 without a check? Like, do you know how it is to make $70,000 on your own, just having people write checks to you? Like, you're for your own business? That's not easy. It's not easy at all. So it may sound like, some people say it may sound like good money. Some people say that's not enough money. But it takes a long time for you to be able to make $70,000 for your company year after year consistently. So you have to create a certain type of plan and a certain type of cushion and your balance and your budget and so forth. Because also with those checks, a company may say they can, oh, it's coming next week. Mm. It may not be coming for another 2-3 months. Mm-hmm. So your stream of income, that's one thing that I learned, was that I had to learn my cash flow, right? I had to learn how to make sure that I would not be starving or hungry or stressing out if a check didn't come for a month. And that's really important because I didn't understand that. And I was like blowing people up, like, where's my check? Where's my check? And they're like, it's a 30-day process. Like, you'll get it when you get it. And you're talking to corporations or government entities, and they're just looking at you like, sometimes some of them are like, what, not just 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, you know, depending on how big that check is sometimes. And you have to eat it. And if you have people who are working for you, employees, 1099s, that payroll has to come every week. You regardless. Can't tell them, oh, in 90 days. Mm-hmm. You cannot say, oh, yep. I'll pay you in 90 days. You will not have a staff. So sometimes you have to pay them before you pay yourself, right? So that your business could sustain. And that's bad business when, you know, I hate that when people don't cut their staff works and they don't cut the check, you know, because they have to take care. That's going to make sure your business is unprofessional because they're not going to be doing their work because they don't believe in you. So that's just kind of like my little tidbits of what you need to do before you decide you want to be a boss bitch or a boss babe or an entrepreneur or whatever, because it's not for everyone. You know, you could have your full-time job and then you could, you know, have this side business. And if you just want to have a side business, let's just have a side business.
And don't get your motivation from Instagram.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Yeah. It's not real life.
It's not real life. People are not doing what you think that they're doing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just make sure that when you do make the decision, it's the right decision for you and not to follow the trend of what it is to be, you know, a boss chick.
Agreed.
Well, that's it for another episode of Unwrapped. And we have a lot of stuff coming up. I think we have an event that's coming up that we will tell you guys about in another day. And we have a sponsor.
Yeah, we have a sponsor. Today's episode was brought to you by ShopTPTheMag.com. There's an array of different items on there. Go check it out. There's t-shirts and home decor and office decor and fitness lines. They have a boatload of things that are pretty cute. And from my understanding, there's a sale going on. So again, check out ShopTPTheMag.com.